CliffCentral.com.
Our moral compass. Of this moral compass. The needle of the moral compass that the president has lost its moral compass.
Good morning. Yep. We are live. We are ready to take on the day, the week. And it looks like we've mostly escaped unharmed from that cyclone Dineo. But, you know, it's only started raining today, so I don't know whether maybe the worst is yet to come. But certainly along the coast, they don't seem to be taking it as hard as poor old Mozambique did it a couple of days ago.
Sure. Mozambique got it bad.
Yeah. It is raining all over the place today, though. And lots of it. I drove in, I was telling my buddy in Ben, when I came in this morning, there was a guy on Rivonia Road. He was on the one, it's two lanes, so he was driving in the same direction I was. On the left, I was on the right, and I just saw him. He was probably about 30, 40 meters in front of me. And I just saw these walls of water as his tires kind of dug through quite deep water on the way in. And I saw him slam on brakes. And, you know, cars move around when they do that. In fact, the worst thing you can do if you're aquaplaning in any way is to slam down your brakes.
Yeah,
the worst thing to do.
So when you go in those advanced driver courses, which everyone must do, I think you must do one every 10 years. That should be part of a license stipulation thing.
These are the kind of things
that you learn. Because in those panic situations, instinctively, you always think, I must slow down. And then that's where you crash.
That's exactly where you screw it up. Apparently, it's the most dangerous thing to do. You should actually let the water just slow you down and just steer. At that point, concentrate on the direction your tires are facing rather than how much they're turning. Right?
Yeah. Braking and steering together, it doesn't really work. If you play Need for Speed on PlayStation or if you're in real life.
Oh, really?
This is two things you shouldn't do.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
But there's something about rain in general that renders the human brain stupid. I don't know why that happens, but generally, people drive worse in rain. Rain.
Absolutely, you're 100% right. Because we we're very simple things. Actually, we're not complicated, and we're not able to compute very complicated situations into desirable outcomes. Hey, Sia, can you do me a favor? Can you try and get Mark Bland on Skype? Yeah, I want to talk to him. Mark Bland had a whole episode. You know, he hosts the queue on Cliff Central. I'll set that up for you in a second. But we're not able to compute all this stuff, just talking about the aquaplaning and people driving in rain. So what happens is, because we are, again, I keep repeating myself with this, but it's the most important fact about the way that we think. We're pattern-seeking mammals. So what happens is when something threatens our survival, and immediately human brains pick the worst possible outcome so that we can steer our way away from that. Right?
Yeah.
So rain is coming down. You're in a fast-moving vehicle. Everything else stops mattering. And you think only about your own movement through the water and your own movement through the other cars. And that's it. That's all you can focus on. Mm. It's bizarre. Like humans, we are so dumb. We really should not be in control of heavy machinery like cars. And especially in any situation where we're a little bit distracted.
But at no stage are we ever tested in wet weather. Think about it. We write that stupid test in the dry classroom to get our learner's license. We then do that stupid test in, mostly dry conditions.
Mm.
Unlucky if you do get a torrential downpour on your test day, and then you'll probably fail.
Right.
So you can actually be in a situation where you've never seen this before.
Well, I mean, lots of people are. And that's exactly the problem. There's no kind of preparation for any of this stuff. It just happens. If it happens, you're just in trouble, full stop. Anyway, hope you had a good weekend. We must find out what everybody got up to over the weekend. And if you have a nice story for us, then, you know, because some people had an exciting weekend, I'm sure. Yes, there seems to be quite a lot that was going on. Is he on the line? Oh, great. I want to speak to Mark. You know, hey, Mark, good morning, man. Good evening over there. Mark, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Gareth. How are you?
Good, man. It's good to talk to you. I haven't spoken to you for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, it's been quite a bit of time, but the last time I talked to you, we hadn't had a president of the United States elected yet, I think. And now we do.
and you are not happy. You are definitely not in the Trump supporters camp.
Well, you know, that's a weird thing to say in this fact that I'm a moderate. So yeah. I kind of pull from both sides.
Right.
I'm not the guy who's going to scarlet letter, if you know what that means, a guy like Trump.
Yeah.
Hardcore, like a lot of other people, like Jason, who's on our show, and Bobby, they're a little bit more conservative than me.
Right.
Or Jason's a lot more liberal. Bobby's a lot more conservative. So, like, they tend to stream more into those aspects than I do. So I'm not a fan of Trump, but I'm not a fan of Trump because of what he is saying and doing. Not so much of him as a person. I don't mind that he's a misogynistic guy and all that stuff like that. It's not that I support or condone any of it. It's just that it's never a thought in my mind.
That's not the most important thing. You know, what I love is that you said you're a bit of a moderate and a centrist, and nobody can admit to that position anymore. It seems that everybody these days is forced to go extreme left or extreme right to be heard, because no one actually wants to
be heard. Yes.
No one wants to hear the sensible people.
You know, that's kind of, you listen to be entertained. Oh, as much as, you know, the big thing going around the United States, and I'm sure you're hearing a bit of it down there,
is
about fake news.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, and his attacking the media. And
right.
He, being a professional media person here in the United States, I'm not taking it personally, but I feel like it's just coming from a point of no value.
Yeah, absurdity. Now, listen, I need to talk to you about something, and the real reason we wanted to get you on, I know it's late over there, and I appreciate you making time. So on the queue the other day, you started your podcast. We played it out on Thursday. I heard you saying that you quit one of the channels that you're on. It was a radio station. It's owned by this dude, and he goes on the air, and he's he's a little bit controversial, but he crossed the line with you. You quit because he was all racist.
Well, it wasn't just me, and let me preface this first off. The gentleman's name is Bob Romanek.
Mm-hmm.
Bob has never been bad or mean to me directly,
mm-hmm.
And we appreciated the opportunity to be on his radio station
right
here in the United States. I didn't even know the situation had really gone down. Evidently, it had happened a few different times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I get a call from one of our major sponsors on the show who says, hey, we need to talk. I need to get rid of my commercials and pull them from the station immediately. And, you know, not to get into super details about it, but at that point, obviously, that raises my questioning in my head of what happened, mm-hmm. you know. Then I talked to a couple of individuals associated with the station, including the general manager.
Right.
And come to find out that, yes, Bob had gone on the air and said the N-word quite a few different times. That's considered hate speech in the United States of America. There's brands like the one that sponsored my show that do not want to be associated with things of that nature. It's not a question of whether he has the right to say it or not.
Right.
That's protected by the First Amendment and free speech. It's about the couth. It always is about the couth, Garrett.
Mm.
And that's kind of what it comes down to for us. So without the sponsorship there, the value of being on the station, also associating our brand with that, definitely not something that we prescribe to.
Yeah,
so,
I was because people don't often take a principled stand against these things. And I know that if one of the clients, if one of your sponsors came in and said to you, hey, this is happening, do you know about this? I think that that's a fascinating place to start, you know, in terms of a discussion. And it's just cool.
Of course it is.
It's cool to see that you
are. And it's awkward. It's an awkward place to start, and it's not their fault.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're protecting their business interests.
Yeah, sure. And Mabali and I were talking about it the other day, but you don't often hear about, like, a white guy who quits because he hears about racism going on.
I guess. I don't necessarily view it that way. Everybody here in the United States and around the world has an opinion. You guys have been through this yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The idea of racial divide, being very deep within your nation. So you understand, or at least you from the history of Africa, you understand,
right.
Or South Africa specifically, you understand,
right.
You know, where these things start and go and how they play out. And I cannot fathom being the guy who hosts the relatively moderate radio show.
Yeah.
It doesn't swing too far one way or the other. Sticking around, because at that point, they're going to ask, does this bother you?
Sure.
And it puts me in a sticky situation. Does it bother me? Of course it bothers me. Do I have the right to tell him that he can't do it? Sure, of course I got the right to tell him. He can just tell me to go F off if he wants to.
Right.
And he has that right. And so you're never going to get to a good spot is what I'm trying to say. It's always going to be a questionable area when things like this in such a controversial subject occur in such a natural way.
Well, listen, man, good to talk to you nonetheless. And we've got a couple of really interesting shows that are on podcast already that you can go and take a listen to that Mark's been involved. Are you in the car?
Yes, I am in the car. I just got done.
Not bad sound in the car.
Driving.
Yeah, it's very good sound.
You got to, man, I'm telling you, you got to handle it. You got to handle business. You got to multitask, baby.
All right, man. What are you doing driving around so late on a Sunday night?
Actually, my brother happens to own a laundromat here in the St. Louis area, and he is on vacation as we speak.
Ah.
So I had to go over and close up and make sure everything was taken care of. So you got to get your hands dirty every once in a while, too. You know, not everybody's just driving around. And
what does a radio guy know about running a laundromat?
Not much. Honestly, it's his. I just do the medial closing things that he taught me to do so that each day while he's gone, it can be handled at least somewhat properly.
All right. Well, listen, man, thank you very much for talking to us, and good for you. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
All right. Hey, yeah, we've got the 300th episode of The Q coming up. So that's going to be this Thursday.
There we go. 300 episodes.
That's a lot.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Always good to talk to
you. When some of the shows are 2 hours and some are an hour and a half, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's great. All right, thank you so much. There we go. Mark Bland, The Q, this Thursday on cliffcentral.com, and one of our major international partners on podcasts, just to prove that we're not just broadcasting out of this studio. We come from all over the place. We've got a menu, a smorgasbord of stuff for you to check out. So there he is. Interesting story, right? I'm not going to be associated with this crap.
Yeah, I mean, look, most of us wouldn't take it that far. Most of us very rarely leave on principle,
yeah.
You know.
Right. All right, so listen. Sia Sangreni's here. Hey, Sia.
Good morning.
What's happening with you?
Mondaying.
How was your weekend?
Oh, really, really good. I haven't had a weekend this good in like a really long time. Like full back-to-back activities. I'm the last person who actually enjoys a lot of activity, but I, stepped up to the plate and it was fun.
I don't know. You've sort of come out of your shell, and so not that you were ever in a shell, but you were bungee jumping the other day.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot going on in Sia's life. 22 is about to be a great year.
It's a year of yes, right? So that's what we're trying to do.
All right, nice. So does that mean that you have to say yes to all your invitations?
You see.
How does the year of yes work?
See, that's the horrible question. That's when I know someone is up to, like, some fishy stuff, because basically you don't decline a challenge.
Oh, like that Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah, there's like,
don't
yes,
you wag
man.
Your finger at me. I'm not going to make you do weird things.
Thank you. Yeah. Just like, oh, yeah, you should do the Iron Man.
No hesitation there to throw that on me.
All right. Well, if you want to tell us about your weekend, then you know what to do. Cliff Central, one word on Skype. And we're busy sorting out a bunch of things that later on in the show, by the way, we got a hell of a lineup for you this morning. As always, we try to bring you some really good stuff. We've had incredible guests over the last few days. Today will be no exception. We have got someone called Lisa Mainhart. She's coming in. She was the second runner-up in Idols back in 2014, and she's coming in with her guitar. And I don't know if you'll remember her. She's very quirky. We thought we'd get her in and talk to her about what happens after a show like that. And she's got her own thing going. Because, I mean, if you don't come first, let's be very honest, they're not that interested in you, because running one person's career is enough for the people who have to manage the Idols. To have to manage 4 or 5 or 8 of them is a nightmare. Can you imagine running their diaries? They don't pitch for a studio session. I mean, it's just horrible. Plus, today is the start of Teen Suicide Prevention Week, which means we're going to check in with our friend Cassie from SADAG. You remember the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And we'll find out what
they'd like to let you know about in case you know someone in the family who's, you know, this happens. People get a little bit antsy. People get very depressed about the circumstances of their own life. It's a Monday morning. If there's ever going to be an important day in the week of Teen Suicide Prevention Week, I reckon it should be Monday.
A rainy Monday.
Yeah.
Oof. Kind of middle of February.
Yeah. Right. And they did say in January is where you get the most depressed people in the Northern Hemisphere. So obviously here it's summer, it's not as bad. But it's the beginning of the year, so for some people, even though it's February now, January's the toughest month financially. There's a lot going on. So people are dealing with stuff, and particularly young people who've maybe not, you know, got the results they wanted at school or at varsity, and maybe the relationships of the family are frayed, and there's lots of reasons that you might be thinking of, you know, some suicidal thoughts. We don't want you to keep thinking those. An interesting article, which I quickly want to refer to. I got a bit of time. There was a great article written by Adam Wakefield on the media update about cliffcentral.com. Now, I know for many people who listen to us, this is already old news, but at least it's not fake news. Adam's writing about this. He published it on the 15th of February. And the headline is cliffcentral.com from ahead of the curve to looming mainstream.
Ooh.
Yeah. He starts the article. I'm just going to quote little bits of it for you. When Gareth Cliff left National Terrestrial Radio in March 2014, many would not have believed almost 3 years later that change would be a watershed in South African radio. Cliffcentral.com, founded by Cliff and longtime associate Rena Broomberg, has changed how digital radio is viewed in South Africa. And they're not stopping anytime soon. Well, you know, a lot of people thought we would be a fly by night, that we would come and then we would go. And people are often very nervous to put their money into something that hasn't been tested yet, that hasn't been around for a long time. And I really thought this was just an interesting perspective from a third party. You know, we're obviously, we believe in what we're doing here, otherwise we wouldn't be doing it.
Exactly.
But Adam wrote this great article. He says here, at the time of Cliff's departure, he hosted a morning show that reached over a million people every morning. As such, when it was announced that he and Broomberg, who has decades of experience at South African radio, were launching cliffcentral.com, the jury was out on whether or not it would be a success. Roll the film to February 2017. Cliffcentral.com is still standing and has only gotten stronger. We've grown steadily and gained a better understanding of online broadcasting, with cliffcentral.com being a hybrid of live listening and podcasting. We produce some 40 original shows a week and have created opportunities for many talented people and built a tribe of loyal listeners and supporters. There was no way that we could predict what might happen when we started because we were sailing into uncharted waters. And we've engaged, it says here, this is now you if you listen to us, early adopters connected in a digital world with a niche audience leading the way to what could be mainstream in the future. So everybody who listens to us every day or even every week or even once a week, pat yourself on the back. You are an early adopter, and you are changing the world. You are the people who will make this mainstream, because other people follow you. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you listen to us, other people probably listen to you. So you are one of those people who influences other people. You're a thought leader. So thank you. We've got to give credit to our audience here. Otherwise, what are we doing it for? Ben and Mabali and Sia and I could sit here all year talking to ourselves, it wouldn't make a goddamn difference. And, you know, like everyone already knows, you could start a podcast tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy thing to get into, low barrier to entry and all that stuff. But if you want to make a success of it, it takes a little bit more. And, you know, we've got a nice combo of experience and hopefully talent here to make that happen. Do you want to reach the people who count to hear your brand message? This is if you're an advertiser now. I'm plugging our own product.
No, yeah, go ahead, Gareth. Yes.
Do you want to get the early adopters to adopt your product or services, especially if you're in a digital environment? CliffCentral.com can help you reach and connect to them effectively. Contact sales@cliffcentral.com to partner with us and cut through the media noise. And I mean this, from custom-made campaigns to creative concepts for branded content, sales@cliffcentral.com. Get hold of us today. You know, we've got great sponsors like Colcacchio that I just spoke to Michael, the MD of Colcacchio, in an email last week. I love these people so much. They believed in it before there was proof that it was working. That's visionary.
Hmm.
You try and get these big corporations to understand that.
They're so afraid of making the wrong move, they don't make any move at all. But a brilliant business like Colcacchio, getting on board with us early, these are the kinds of people who've made headway with us. And the proof is in the pudding. It's working. In fact, they're ready to bring you Mubs' news in a couple of minutes. Right? They've been astute sponsors of Mubs. They know what real news is. They're not a sponsor of the real news.
Nothing fake about what we do here.
Damn straight. So there we go. Just go and check out that that article if you want to. I'll retweet it for you. Adam Wakefield. And because it's really about you if you listen to us. Not really about me and what we've built here. It's more about you. Anthea is coming up a bit later on too. And we'll check in on some sport. Loads of good stuff. I heard such an interesting story the other day. I heard that there are something like 24,000 time capsules buried all over the world. Some of them are very, very old. Some of them are about 100 years old. Some of them are only a couple of days old. And there's even an organization that buries time capsules regularly, as a matter of course.
Jeez, what an easy business.
Isn't that nice?
It'll bury your dreams.
Well, what you put in there is the newspapers of the day.
Yeah.
You'd put in some artifacts from that time period that you're living in at the
photos.
Time.
Photos.
Photos, yeah, yeah.
A USB with what maybe is
a floppy disk.
The problem is, you bury a floppy disk back in the 1980s. There are lots of computers in the 1980s that can read a floppy disk. I don't know anyone who has a computer right now that could read a floppy disk.
No,
that stuff is lost. That's lost. It may as well be encrypted on the Rosetta Stone.
Okay. That's what we used to do. Tomorrow, we must all bring something in for a Cliff Central time capsule.
Well, Ben suggested something a while ago that I think is kind of almost like a time capsule, but it would be something that we would give away once a month, and I think we should give our first one away at the end of this month. It's only a week or so to go.
Like?
Well, we're going to give away a Gareth Cliff Show box maybe once a month, which will have, you know, we get a lot of stuff here.
It's like day-to-day things. I mean, obviously, we won't give away like John T's muffin because that weren't lost from a Friday.
But we could give away, you know, a script of maybe one of the one of the guests who come in. We give away their biography. We give away something that Ben brings in. And I get a lot of free things. We got Dave Levinson's beer, for example. We could throw in there.
There's this golf book that nobody wants.
Oh man, is that thing still?
How many books do we get here?
By the way, that golf book, this is a time capsule type device. This is a golf book that we have, 1,000 Reasons to Love Golf or whatever it's called.
See, now, I like the book, but no one else really does.
No. So we passed it between, there must already be 20 people in there who've had the book. Then everybody has to put the date they got it, sign it, and then pass it on to someone else. And it's been through some famous people. It's been passed along between, about 5 or 6 really famous comedians in South Africa. And nobody holds on to it for long because you only need a cursory glance at the book.
Oh my
and then
goodness.
You pass it on to someone else. But that kind of thing could go into the time capsule.
Now this board literally just sits and regulates or just counts how many time capsules are
just,
buried.
They make sure that a regular time capsule goes out. That's all.
And so there aren't any bodies in there?
No.
Just.
I don't think you want to put bodies in there.
Have you ever buried a time capsule?
I think I did when we were at school.
Yeah.
Our teachers said to us we should bury a time capsule somewhere. I don't know where I buried it. I don't know what I put into it. But I know we did something like that once.
It would be pretty fun, though, if you're having a bit of a slow week and you go, oh, cool, this is a time capsule I buried 20 years ago. Can you imagine what you as a child would think would be important? And then you go, oh, my gosh, I was such an idiot.
I think
why the hell do I want a lollipop?
It would be fascinating, right?
It's almost like giving a gift to your future self.
Yeah, I think it would be very, very interesting. Huh. Okay, but enough about that now. It is time to check in on the news with Mabale Moloi. This is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Have you downloaded the new Colcacchio Rewards app yet? With the slices you earn, you can enjoy a single meal or even pay for your whole bill. That's right. You heard me correctly. All you need to do is go to your app store, download Colcacchio Rewards, register, and start earning points every time you visit your favorite Colcacchio or Mio Colcacchio Pizzeria. Eat, earn, repeat. It's as simple as that.
I am one visit away from maestro status.
Nice, Ben.
That's me.
Look at you. Maestro status.
Yeah.
What's above that?
I'm not sure, Karen.
King of the universe.
That's it.
I'm like a...
I'm like a deckhand at this stage. I'm not even important.
No, you go apprentice, cook, pizzaiolo, and then maestro. And I'm one visit away from the maestro.
Look at you. All right, here's the news with Mubs. Someone went to the trouble of recording that in bagpipes for you, my buddy.
Very good.
Okay, what do we got in the news?
Congratulations to brand new Member of Parliament, Brian Molefe. Yay! Well done.
Are we excited about this?
Congratulations. It's always good news when somebody gets a new post, a new position. You celebrate them, you know, you sure. take them out for drinks.
Mm. Our moral compass.
Because, you know, it's hard keeping a job in the world that we live in. So yeah. Congratulations to Mr. Molefe.
Apparently, Brian Molefe used to have a personal trainer who would travel with him everywhere he went.
Oh.
But he's fat, so the personal trainer should be fired, and he should not be allowed to spend money on things like that. But when he was CEO of Eskom, there were lots of perks. That's why he cried so much when he had to resign. Do you remember him crying like a little bitch on TV?
Well, he cried because he was implicated in the Public Protector State of Capture report, which is never a good thing to be implicated in.
No.
But it has since emerged that an ANC member of parliament in the Northwest was allegedly forced to resign from their National Assembly position to make way for the former Eskom CEO, Brian Molefe.
And now Gupta Hack.
Isn't he referred to as future finance minister rather than former Eskom CEO?
Well, yes, Ben.
I'm just trying to keep things PC.
Yeah, depending on who you're talking to, he is sometimes referred to as future finance minister. But, you know, I mean, I don't just believe what anybody says. I mean, I'd love to hear what Justice Malala, for example, has to say on this matter.
Well, the interesting thing about that is that if you are the kind of person who refers to Brian Molefe as future finance minister, you're also the kind of person who really should call AJ Gupta your king and sovereign. Because that's how it works too. The real president of South Africa, if you believe what those people will tell you, and why the hell not, it seems they've been right so far. The fact that Brian Molefe has been sworn in as a member of parliament, that kind of points to the fact that these people might be right. They say, well, the president's not the president. He's just the henchman of this amazingly powerful family, the Guptas. So actually, Brian is now captured by them. Our president is captured by them, and they're trying to get their greedy, dirty, filthy paws on our treasury. The week before, I might add, or the week of, our finance minister giving the budget speech. And remember, in that budget speech, according to everybody who knows anything, he is looking likely to raise taxes. Now, why should we pay more taxes so that the Guptas can get richer? Because that's effectively what we're doing. What happens is we pay it in, and then the government spends a huge amount of that on supposedly things that our country needs, like infrastructure and welfare. And by the way, they've messed up welfare like you can't believe, because unless they resolve this to the tune of 1.3 billion rand in the next couple of days, all those people on social welfare are not going to get their checks, because the payment system was, it seems, irregularly put together. And the company that has been dealing with those payments looks likely to either have to reapply for the tender, and that means people won't get paid, or they're just going to have the tender continued, which means that actually the whole system is questionable in the first place. But enough about that. Here's Brian Molefe, this great guy who's been brought in as an MP so that he can be our finance minister next. Everybody's very excited about that. It's nothing dodgy here. Don't look this way. Keep on keeping on. Come on, you dumb people. You're slaves.
Now, the City Press reported that Abraham Modau was pushed to resign by the party to allow Molefe to be his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, it's got to be a fall guy, a poor fall guy. Now, some members of the ANC in the province claim Molefe is not part of ANC structures. Oh. The ruling party has denied the claim, saying that he is a card-holding member in the Hartbeespoort Dam branch. But that's where it ends, okay?
Oh.
Although the party announced on Friday that the former Eskom CEO would be sworn in as an MP, amid speculation he could also join cabinet, enter rumors of him being the future finance minister.
See, nothing to see here. Keep moving on.
Now, the ANC in the Northwest will have you know that Molefe was nominated because the party says that they have faith he will make a good contribution in Parliament, Gareth. Right. How dare you hold any other opinion?
Right.
Yes. And so the party congratulated Molefe, calling him a hard-working comrade with unquestionable credentials. Unquestionable.
Unquestionable, is that why he had to resign as Eskom CEO? If you're unquestionable, you shouldn't have to resign and cry on national television. That is questionable. What the hell do you know about the word questionable, is the point. Good Lord. Seriously? I don't like any of this. It can be very uncomfortable.
Okay, so you don't like any of that, but
no.
Let me know how you feel about this, because, you know, you alluding to the fact that the president is not really the president in terms of who's in charge.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, it is not any of the Guptas who will be getting a 6-meter bronze statue erected in their honor in the Northwest. It will be Jacob Zuma, the president.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Shame.
What is your problem?
Shame.
A 6-meter bronze statue.
Shame.
Where are they going to put this up?
In the Northwest, Gareth, because the Northwest province have apparently allocated money for the 6-meter bronze statue, which will be in the region of millions, according to reports. And so opposition parties have just kind of thrown their hands up in the air and they're saying, are you serious right now?
Well, at least we know where people who want to express their disgust at the Marikana episode can go, because that's just down the road.
Mm.
Yeah, you can go straight to the statue. Put it up. It's like a lightning rod for protesters. Bring it on. And by the way, can the Northwest province under Super Mahumapelo be any more ass-licking than they already are? Put up a statue to this great leader of ours.
Yeah, what's the motive exactly?
He's a president,
okay.
Yeah, and he deserves a statue. What is your problem?
Gotcha.
You know what? All get right. Over yourself, because you're really, really not pretty.
And yes, Premier Supra Mahumapelo's ANC government is hell-bent on building this work of art. But the DA have said that money that's going to be allocated to the statue would be better spent on a long list of priorities that would benefit the people of South Africa and the province of the Northwest, right?
Oh, yes.
You mentioned Marikana, which the DA did say yes. Those millions would be much better and more appropriately spent on completing the IPED investigation into the Marikana massacre that left 34 people dead at the hands of the state in the Northwest province.
Exactly.
Cope also jumped into the conversation, saying that instead of wasting that money to erect the statue, the Northwest government should be spending the money on service delivery in the province.
Listen, this is what happens. Great people always have statues erected to them, and then when the people of the country don't think they're that great people anymore, that statue is the first thing to fall. You know, Saddam had statues all over. You can't find one now.
Heaven only knows how much this is going to cost.
I love it. Build the statue, guys. Like I said, a lightning rod for protesters. We all know what happens to statues that people don't like.
Mm.
Go on. Let's see what happens to this one. You're asking for the president to be disrespected. This is like this is like you bend over in front of a sex offender. Go on. Do it. Build your statue. Let's see what happens. I'm waiting for you guys.
Okay, and then the public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, has confirmed that her office has in fact been investigating City Power. Ooh, lots of shenanigans happening here. She was speaking on the sidelines of her first nationwide stakeholder forum at the Johannesburg City Hall last week. City Power's board has welcomed the investigation, which was launched by Mayor Herman Mashaba, into the power utility's tenders, which are valued at billions of rand, Gareth. 2.8 billion rand is the figure that I saw being thrown around over the weekend.
That's nice.
Yes. the mayor has also taken issue with the fact that the MD of City Power, the managing director, Sicelo Xulu, he apparently gets to retain his position amid the investigation, even though he is also looking suspect himself. And the mayor says that he wants to hold the board accountable after it refused to suspend Mr. Xulu for alleged corruption involving the city's 1 billion rand smart electricity meter tender.
Yeah, he said on this show 2 weeks ago, and you can go and listen to it yourself in his own words. Herman Mashaba was in here 2 weeks ago. He said right here, he will not hesitate to fire the entire board of City Power. So let's see if he does.
Now, the board, in Mr. Kulu's defense, said that no, he had already been cleared of any wrongdoing, which is why they didn't suspend him. But the mayor says another investigation was launched after the new information emerged that there was something wrong with the tender.
Sounds very dodgy. I think we've got to get to Ben's sport. We can pick up on some more news later on, and you can call us with any info you have. I mean, we have some fairly high-placed people who listen to us from morning to morning. They might know some more about this whole City Power thing. I got an email from someone the other day that hinted as much. And, you know, I'm not going to be the one to decide whether to make that news. It's not really news. It's at this stage, it's just rumor. But if you know anything, hey, call us. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you know. It's nothing like sharing the truth. The truth always comes out. Here's Ben with some truth about sport.
Go on, the Proteas. Looking great. They went to Middle Earth this last week. And
Sorry, Ben. Switched off the wrong mic. You said they started off firing.
Sorry, Gareth. It's okay. So they started off firing. They played a one-off T20 in the rugby stadium where, you know, some of the boundaries are about 50 meters long. And thankfully, there was no rain, so they actually played a full T20 match. So batting first, Proteas put a very good total on the board, and then Imran Tahir got 5 wickets. So no chance for the Kiwis there. They got rolled out for 107 in response to the SA's 185 for 6. So the SA won the T20 by 78 runs. And then yesterday, rain-affected match, so they could only play 34 overs a side. That's kind of what's going to happen with the Champions Trophy as well in England. Now, New Zealand and England are kind of very similar weather-wise, pitch conditions-wise, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I may be slightly more attractive girls watching the cricket in England, but that is mostly because it's an international hub.
And you do say slightly.
Yeah. So it's actually a pretty good practice for the Proteas. Anyway, so New Zealand scored 207 for 7, helped by the fact that Chris Morris's last over went for 25. And then SA were just doing so well, and then they just lost a whole bunch of wickets. Tumini got 1, Bayardin got absolutely squeed, bugger all, 0. Mm-hmm. And then Morris held his end a bit, so it was down to essentially AB de Villiers and Andile Petlokwayo. So they managed to get through. They won with a ball in hand, so 4 wicket win there, but the pitch was doing all kinds of strange things, and this is the kind of game that the Proteas would have lost in the past.
Right.
Because firstly, chasing a score against the ball spinning square is difficult for most teams, near impossible for Proteas teams. But this Andile Petlokwayo, if you think about it, everyone was going on about the fact that Lungi Ngidi is such an incredible talent. He played 2 T20 matches. This dude is the exact same age as Lungi Ngidi. He's 20 years old, is Petlokwayo. At the age of 20, he's just showing not just talents, he's showing abilities that to adapt on situations and abilities to play under pressure. So the fact that he's 20 and he's made it this far is already incredible. The fact that he's actually taking, like, he's showing such backbone and with batting and bowling. You know, watch the way this guy bowls. He really thinks that what his plan's going to be. Yesterday in the batting as well. Bayardini, he first ball, didn't know what was going on. Dumini as well, just capitulated. Now, these guys are in their 30s, right? This dude, he's 20 years old, and he's adapting. He's working with AB de Villiers, and he got the team over the line. He had a great 6 in the last over to take a lot of pressure off, and they won.
Well, so it sounds like a guy to watch.
It really is, Gareth, and it's so exciting to realize that. And Kakisa Rabada, 21, right? Now, this isn't just talent that's coming through. This is match-winning talent, and there's a big difference because anyone can take 5 wickets here or score 50 there and be prolific when they're playing against children. But these guys are doing it on the top level. And, like, it's just, they've got no muscle memory of this kind of stuff. They're just getting on the big stage and they're getting it done, which just goes to show how fantastic the talent is. It can come through in this country.
Good.
And the more that it is exposed, the better we get.
Well,
simple as that.
You know Ben will find these stories and tell you about them.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really encouraging, and cricket is the one code that's really doing it so well. So Wednesday will be the next match there, which if the Proteas win, it will then set a new record for most consecutive ODI wins for them. They're currently on 12, which ties a previous record. The world record, though, well, the Aussies were 21. So we'll basically have to win, yeah, everything for the rest of the year to try to get to that. So
sure.
Baby steps. 13 is our next one, Wednesday in New Zealand. Sri Lanka, they played Australia over the weekend, 2 T20s, and they beat them both times. So Sri Lanka winning that series. Ba-bang. And Afghanistan, they are currently 2-0 up against Zimbabwe in the ODI series.
Very good.
But now it's time to get to the football. Big FA Cup weekend, and Lincoln City, the fairy tale story continues. They beat Burnley 1-0. What a great sight that was.
Am I wrong to say that this is almost like a mini version of what Leicester did when they surprised everybody by suddenly getting to the top of the Premier League? And
pretty much.
These little clubs, something happens. There's some kind of magic that happens. And they're just outside of the bet. And then suddenly they find themselves winning. And they become a massive force to be reckoned with for a while.
Well, Gareth, 6 months ago, I reckon these guys would battle the pool chicks in the bar.
Yeah.
Now these Lincoln City guys, I reckon they cheapers. I mean, they can't walk through Lincoln right now without being just things thrown at them. Like,
hey, Opa, kid. You all right, eh?
Like, I mean, what a life turnaround this must be. So they beat Burnley 1-0. Now, Burnley are a Premier League side, right?
Yeah.
Lincoln, these guys probably walk to training. They catch the bus. They're eating beans on toast still. Yeah. It is such a great story. And now they go through to the next round. As do Millwall, because they beat Leicester, right? Things just get bad to worse to Leicester. And Leicester are actually still in the Champions League, which makes this really funny. Well, it's still in, but it's not going to last much longer. Middlesbrough, they're through. They beat Oxford United. Huddersfield Town.
Yeah,
what drew with Man City. Man City, with their bajillions of dollars and Pep Guardiola on the sideline with his manly sculpted stubble, they could not put a goal past Huddersfield Town. So there they go, going to a replay. And then Chelsea beat Wolves, Spurs beat Fulham, and Man United beat Blackburn. So the latter stage is not too many surprises. But now that takes us into the quarterfinals. So tonight, we've got Sutton United versus Arsenal. Or another way of looking at it is greengo.com versus Emirates. If you want to see the scale of these teams, you go to Sutton United's sponsor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to that website, greengowaste.com. Their slogan is, don't get a gringo, get a green go.
And
get rid of their waste.
These guys are seriously lucked out with their sponsorship here. They caught these people. It's like taking a great bet on a small company in the stock market.
So Green Go are getting so much press right now against the multi-bajillion dollar Emirates company. So that'll be tonight, okay? Sutton versus Arsenal, and 9:55 tonight, Monday SA time. The winner of that will take on Lincoln, and they'll be played at the Emirates or Sutton, whatever that ground is called. It's probably called Sutton Football Ground.
Right.
So the other ones to look out for in the quarterfinals. Spurs will take on Millwall. Chelsea versus Man United in the big tie for the next round. And then Middlesbrough will take on whoever wins between the might of Huddersfield Town and Man City. So that will, that's your FA Cup. So I'll get back to you on that Sutton match tomorrow. In the PSL, well, Chiefs, they won again. So, well, there's all kinds of attention around other teams in for good or bad reasons. Chiefs are just putting up the wins. So they beat Highlands Park 1-0. They now go 1 point clear at the top of the table. Of course, the other teams below them do have a couple of games in hand, though. Cape Town City, they dropped points. They drew with Pirates 2-2 at home. Pirates behaved this time round, and 2-2 was the score. Bloem Celtic beat Chipper United 2-0. Polokwane drew 1-1 with IS Cape Town. And then Golden Arrows, they went down to Free State Stars. So more on that in this couple of days because the big teams are playing again. And then in golf, we have a new world number one. It is the 20th player since the ranking started in 1986, and it is Dustin Johnson. Now, think where he was a couple of years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Snorting cocaine, womanizing, pulling out of tournaments, all kinds of stuff. And he decides to take a step back. Huge talents, complete head case, throwing away opportunities left, right, and center. But he got it all together, and he's now, without doubt, the greatest golfer on the planet. He's just temperaments all come together. Physically, you know he's incredible. He's an absolute freak of nature, this guy. So he is the third player, along with Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, to win one tournament for the first every year, the first 10 years in the US PGA Tour. He won the Genesis Open last week. Paul Laurie, he won the Dimension Data Pro-Am this week at Fancourt, and then Mark Rumford won that ISPS Hando World Super 6 tournament, which was fascinating to watch. It really was such an amazing innovation to see absolute nobodies playing off on a Saturday to get into the match play section, one of which was Pajara Kongwat Mai.
I'm sorry, Kongwat Mai?
17-year-old Thai boy got into this thing, okay, but he literally scraped through the last position. He made it all the way into the finals of this match play to play against Mark Rumford, their home ground Aussie. And unfortunately for Kongwat Mai, it didn't happen this time round, but he's 17 years old.
I am.
What's his name?
I am so glad that happened because
we would have missed out on knowing this name.
Oh yeah,
well, you'll definitely hear it again.
Come on,
Pajara Kangwatmai.
Yeah,
and he walks around with an umbrella because he doesn't want to get a tan. You know, it's a big cultural thing in Thailand. You're quite right. Have the dark skin.
Yeah, because
it looks like you're a field labourer. So Kangwatmai, he just plays under an umbrella and he hits the ball towards the shade. Okay, good doesn't notice that.
Good for him.
But what an incredible talent! And then finally, Gareth, the World Pool Championships. Talking about amazing talent, Gnocchi Oi. He progressed to the next round, and with that, produced one of the greatest post-match sporting interviews of our time.
Oh yes. Now this is fascinating. Ben sent this to me. I actually listened to it last night. Is he just using up every word he knows in English?
Well, basically, they wanted to get his thoughts after this come from behind victory. And he doesn't obviously speak a lot of English, so he just used all the English words he could think of in an interview.
Before you did win it.
My name is Naoki Oi. Today, very lucky. Congratulations, me! Yay! English, a little. No problem. Only so.
So he had that shot to win it, and then he kind of recreated it for the crowd afterwards. When that shot didn't go in, did you think, I might have blown it here?
I have a pear. I have an apple.
An apple pear.
Oi, apple pear. Sonna kanji.
I've not ever done an interview quite like this before, Naoki. Do you think you can win this tournament?
No problem.
Well, congratulations, you're through.
Oh man, what a great interview.
Fantastic.
Huh? I love it.
So I hope this Naoki Oi gets a few more phrases.
Yes.
And I hope him and
Kangwatmai.
Pajara Kangwatmai.
I hope they ascend into superstardom so that we keep hearing their names and them.
Yeah. There's some superstars for the week. More sport today on The Bounce Show on cliffcentral.com at 10 a.m. SA time.
Right now it's time for Anthea Gardner. She works hard for the money. So hard for the money. So hard. She'd be dancing for them dollars. She'd be dancing for them dollars. She'd be dancing for them. Oh, it's a little unorthodox. So that's Tiger, the rapper, actually, with She Works Hard for the Money. Your
dancing
song.
For them dollars, eh?
Yeah, dancing for them dollars. All right, so Anthea, it's always nice to see you on a Monday morning, but is it especially nice the week of the budget, or is it especially fractious?
Not only is it the week of the budget, but we've got lots of companies reporting. It's worrying. I mean, so obviously, Mabali told you about Brian Molefe and all the rumors about him potentially being nominated or put in place of Pravin Gordhan as finance minister. But the rand has not moved, not like barely a cent. I mean, it was 13.04 on Friday. It's 13.06 this morning. It was a bit weak on Friday, but I would have thought you'd see a bigger move, and nothing's happened. So the market itself was a bit lower on Friday. We were about 90 basis points, so 0.9% lower. Just kind of a general sell-off, resources, financials, industrials, all sold off quite a bit. I think one of the few shares that was higher on Friday was Murray and Roberts. Remember on Thursday they were up 30-odd%.
Mm-hmm.
There was this big block trade that went through. Nobody knows who the buyer or the seller is for sure. We are now speculating that Coronation are the sellers. That's just a speculation because it would have to be somebody that had a big chunk, and the holdings of listed companies, you can actually go onto Bloomberg and see who holds the companies, who holds shares in the companies. And the PIC came out and said it's not them. The other big holder, of course, was Alan Gray and Coronation. And we're thinking it's Coronation. The big question, of course, is who's the buyer? So it's not a listed company because they would have had to make an announcement. So I'm guessing it's a private equity business. They're looking to get a 30% stake in Murray and Roberts and then make an offer to minority shareholders, which they have to do. They're obliged to if they go over a percentage shareholding and take the company private maybe. So lots of speculation, lots of interest there. And then Blue Telecom was down about 1.5% on Friday. You know they've got this bid to buy Cell C for 5.5 billion rand, they will own 45% stake in Cell C, which was downgraded to a D. Their debt was downgraded a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about that. Anyway, Blue Telecom came out on Friday and said their headline earnings per share would be between 50 and 55% higher, which is an incredible number. So why the share was down, I think it must be the whole Cell C drama playing out there. And that pretty much kind of was
what
the
is that drama? Where are we at with that drama at the moment?
I'm not sure because we haven't had an update, actually. The problem for Cell C is that they got downgraded because they've got bad cash flow. They couldn't pay their debts back.
Mm-hmm.
And Blue Telecom are now, Blue Label Telecom, Blue, are now saying that potentially they might not go through with the deal because even if they buy Cell C, it doesn't mean that they automatically have access to the spectrum that Cell C has been awarded.
Hmm.
So there's drama, yes. But uh-oh, that's as far, that's as much as we know.
Do you think Blue Label are regretting their decision?
I think they are, yes. I think they're probably, oh, I can't.
But sometimes you only know once you've bought something what you're really dealing with because the nuts and bolts suddenly are exposed.
Exactly. That is it, unfortunately. Although you'd think that a big company like this would have, that was the main thing, right? They wanted access to spectrum. Why else would they buy cell
phones? Yeah, they weren't looking so that they could get the third most powerful network in South Africa that was in huge financial trouble.
Financial difficulty,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Let's be frank about this.
There you go.
All right.
Breaking it down
okay.
for us. And that's pretty much what's happened on our market. I mean, we've got a new listing coming up on the 2nd of March, a company called Premier Fishing. It's a company that was started in 1952. It's a BEE company, fishing company. They're only going to raise about 500 million rand in new money, which is not a lot. They're listing at 4.50 a share, which just kind of generally speaking, it's not that cheap. But if their earnings do come through and they're projecting 45.5 cents, that puts them on a forward 10 times PE, like a one-year out PE, which kind of makes it worthwhile. And they're saying that they can potentially buy companies, and why they're raising money is they can do acquisitions at a 2 times PE, which I find incredibly hard to believe. I mean, show me a company where you can buy at a 2 times forward PE or 2 times current PE.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers look great. They actually do. But because it's so small, and I think it will be oversubscribed. In fact, I think it's already oversubscribed by indications alone, even though the book only opens today. If you, for example, and they're only doing lots of 1 million rand. So if the four of us bandied together and we put in our million rand bid and we're each going to get 250,000, there is a chance that we may only get a small percentage of what we're applying for. So is it worthwhile? I don't know. It's a lot of effort. My concern with this fishing industry is that it all depends on fishing rights which you get awarded. And we know there's been drama about tender issues in the fishing industry or sector, I should say. You have to be BEE. The tenders do last for about 10 to 15 years. The rights you get issued do last for about 10 to 15 years. But there's no guarantee that Premier Fishing are going to continue getting these fishing rights, if you like. So that's my only real concern. The numbers look good, though.
Okay. There's a lot to talk about. The Trump trade and how that's running out. The French government bonds. Where do you want to go?
We'll do them both together. So the Trump trade, the first issue there is that, you know, after Trump became president, on the day the market was stop loss down, so it was kind of reached its bottom before it stopped trading. And then, over the next couple of weeks, the market rallied. The S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, they're all at all-time highs. It seems as though the market is a little bit kind of offish at the moment. So on Friday, the market was really flat. The dollar's come under quite a bit of pressure. And the biggest thing that I noticed was that China, who hold the biggest amount of U.S. debt, so the government-issued bonds,
mm-hmm.
China has now sold down half of their holdings in, 6 months or something. So they're not interested in holding the U.S. government bonds either.
Is that maybe a political statement because Trump has been so vocal about China and...
It could well be.
...and jobs, or do you think that it's a practical decision? Because the Chinese are very pragmatic. They don't ever really allow... politics to trump their own business, ironically, for a country that proclaims itself to be so communist. They're very pragmatic people.
Yeah. He's also been talking about them pegging their yuan, their currency, to the dollar, and that could be bad. So it could be simply that they're just, you know, making an economic decision. But, you know, they hold $1.1 trillion of U.S. government bonds. So actually, I almost have a feeling that Trump kind of attacking China is a bit silly, actually, if you think that they hold so much. And they can sell those bonds down so easily. I mean, it's a liquid thing, but they can impact the stock, the bond, stock bond, same thing, asset. Right. And so that wouldn't be good. You wanted to talk about the French government bonds as well.
What's happening there? Because France is about to go into an election year. Well, they've started their election year. They've got these very concerning signs for some people of Marine Le Pen on the right becoming the sort of favorite candidate at this stage.
I think
What's going on?
The favorite now. Mm. Last week, the Socialist Party presidential candidate, Benoît Hamon or something, he came out and said that they were looking, or they were in talks with the far left candidate, whose name I forget now. Mm. And so they might potentially put forward a single candidacy. And I think that was indication that Marine Le Pen is actually way ahead of the polls and that people are worried about it. And so, yes, the French government bonds also, like, huge volume going through, lots of volatility. By the way, French government bonds are called oats.
Oh, really?
So if you ever hear anyone talking about the 10-year oats, you'll know it's French government bonds.
Wow. You see, we do learn interesting stuff, huh? Mavs, you didn't know that they were called oats.
No, I know.
Sure.
Will you forget?
Can we quickly talk about some offshore companies? Let's just talk about Unilever, massive international food and services and product conglomerate. They do everything from personal hygiene products to canned goods.
Marmite, I think, is theirs.
Yeah, they've got lots.
Dove soap, I think, is theirs.
So many brands.
Yeah, so like ridiculous number
huge
of brands. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you must have seen the 13% move, or 11%, one of the two, I'm not sure, move on Friday. And that's because Kraft Heinz made a bid for the company. And so the share is now trading at about 45 euros, but apparently Kraft Heinz bid 50 euros for the share. But then last night they came out and said they're withdrawing their bid, actually. So they don't want to buy Unilever, because over the weekend, the British government actually stepped in and said, well, obviously, you know, these things have to go through Competition Commission. But the British government said, well, they're not excited about this deal because of what happened when Kraft took over Cadbury's six, seven years ago. Mm-hmm. And the issue with that, with Cadbury's, of course, was that they changed the recipe of cream eggs.
Oh, how dare you.
Okay, so okay, I'm being a bit naughty, a bit silly in the morning, but they did actually change. But the real issue was that they promised the British government that they wouldn't close the Cadbury's factories and that no one would lose their jobs, but actually they reneged on that.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, the British government over the weekend came in and said, well, we don't want the same thing to happen with Unilever. And then last night it was announced that Kraft are withdrawing their bid. And by the way, Kraft Heinz are almost half owned by a company, private equity company called 3G and Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's business.
Yes.
And he basically said, well, actually, it's out in the open. He doesn't do outright fighting. He just doesn't do that, like bidding up for companies. You know, he almost has a philosophy of making his money on the buy. In other words, like not when he doesn't make his money when he sells companies. He makes his money when he buys companies, because he buys them at a discount or he buys them cheap. And if they're going to bid higher and higher for this company, the value kind of is being diminished by them bidding higher. And I think it's just partly his style not to do public bids or public like fights, you know. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he wants to buy cheap, and clearly it's not anymore. Right. So, yeah, so I think disaster averted, I think, for now, for the British government. And we'll see what happens.
All right. One other story, because we are running out of time, I'm afraid. You know, I like it when you come in on a Monday. We usually have a little bit more time, but this morning that is not the case. Let me just think. It's Tempur Sealy. You've been talking about mattresses for a long time.
Yes, so because you said Tempur Sealy, you know, because their contract with Mattress Firm, which is the U.S. company that Steinhoff bought. They canceled their contract 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Uh-oh.
And Tempur Sealy, so Sealy Posturepedic Mattresses, the share price fell to the point where before the announcement, the market cap was $4 billion. It's now 2.65. And what Tempur Sealy have done out of the blue, in inverted commas, is they've implemented something called a poison pill. So it's something to stop aggressive acquirers. And what they've said is that for shareholders, if there is a rights issue, the current shareholders can get rights or buy shares at a discount, which means that if you're an acquirer and if you want to take over the company, you have to pay substantially more just to get kind of a controlling stake in the business. And we call that a poison pill, basically.
It's almost a bit like a sabotage.
A poison pill.
Yeah.
So the board has approved that. And I think they've done it because potentially they are expecting Steinhoff to come in and buy them.
But Steinhoff would be stupid now to spend all that extra money.
Well, the company has suddenly gone from being a $4 billion company to a $2.6 billion. So actually they're getting it at a discount. And you know, I was talking about Cap Industries because they make mattresses here locally, and Steinhoff also bought the mattress business in France. So I was thinking that they would take Cap and the mattress business in France over to the US, but I don't think it's that easy. And do you want to hear something very useless before I go? Is that all nails in beds in Europe are hand hammered? The nails in beds are
what?
Like handmade.
They don't have machines
doing it. Can you believe that? No, I can't. I was like, what? How is that possible? Anyway, so that's Cap Industries, which is our local mattress business. That was kind of there.
All right.
They're much more digital or automated, I should say.
Very good. We will talk a little bit about Forex trading. You've got an email that you want to tell us about tomorrow, and we've got lots of other good stuff to cover tomorrow. Thank you very much, Anthea.
Super. Thank you.
Excellent. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. It is, we're running a little bit late this morning. It's my fault. 7:07. CliffCentral.com. Coming up in a short while, we will have a singer pop by, Lisa Maynard. We're going to have your thoughts. We're going to have your calls. You can Skype us on Cliff Central, one word. Some more news with Mubs. And we'll talk to Cassie from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group because it's Teen Suicide Prevention Week. It's something we care about a lot here, something we talk about every single year, normally in this week, so that we can help bring awareness to it. And maybe, just maybe, we can help one person make the right decision. Instead of doing something silly. You know what it's like. All right, let's go. Let's get the morning going. You ready? CliffCentral.com.